They have been on this earth for some 5 million years. From their fur to their body fat, they have evolved to thrive in extremely cold temperatures. So the cruelty of removing a polar bear from its Arctic home and then forcing it to live in a filthy Caribbean circus in temperatures that soar over 100 degrees, well, it's indescribable. My next guest was part of a Detroit Zoo team that had a daunting challenge, helping a polar bear named Berla after she was rescued from a steaming, fetid Caribbean circus. Elsa Poulsen is known all over the world for her work rescuing bears. She's the president and co-founder of the Bear Care Group. Her book, Berla's Story, One Polar Bear's Amazing Recovery from Life as a Circus Act. Elsa Poulsen, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me here.
Your book opens with a very special and unusual FedEx delivery at Detroit Metro Airport. This little polar bear who was headed for the Detroit Zoo after being rescued from the sweltering Caribbean. Berla was one of six polar bears rescued from the Mexican Suarez Brothers Circus. Why did she come to Detroit?
She came to Detroit because we had just built the Arctic Ring of Life, and there were other bears there, and we had room to take another female. As you probably know, the Arctic Ring of Life is quite large, and we had room for another female. And also because it's in Detroit's history, or the Detroit Zoo's history, to do recovery work, rescue and recovery work. So it just seemed like the obvious fit to take Berla.
So she was the most abused bear you'd ever seen.
At that time, she certainly was.
Tell us about her life with the Suarez Brothers Circus.
Even in writing the book, I had difficulty putting together her life. Initially, we had been told that she was a Canadian bear and that she had been sent by the Canadian or the Manitoba government to a facility in Germany. And from there, she had gone to various circuses and ended up at the Suarez Brothers Circus. In doing the research for this book, I found out that while it's likely that she is a wild bear and it's likely she is from Canada, it's unlikely that she was from the Manitoba government and came to Germany by illegal means, so to speak. And that was typical of bears in that circus and other circuses, and it's typical of other circus animals in that era, that they had no record. These were animals without a personal history. So Berla, aside from the searing heat, if you've ever gone to the zoo and you've observed a polar bear, they seem to lumber slowly from point A to point B. The reason they do that is to not generate too much heat. Polar bears can overheat at freezing temperatures by moving quickly. So you can imagine if you're a polar bear that's built to maintain body heat living in the south or in an equatorial area, it would just be more inhumane than anyone can think.
And PETA investigators actually had made several trips to the Suarez Brothers Circus.
Right.
What did they find? What kind of conditions did Berla and the other Suarez bears live in?
They found that these bears don't have an opportunity to interrelate to each other except in the circus ring. It was quite typical of a circus scenario, actually. Each of the bears lived in a small, very small cage. The cages were so small that the big males, in order to lie down on their back, for instance, they had to lie diagonally with their feet up against the wall because the cage was so small it wouldn't allow them to stretch out. Berla could stretch out because she was much, much smaller. She was about half the size of the big males. And one of the things, aside from all the other things, one of the things that really testifies to just how stressed these animals were and that they were using coping mechanisms on a daily basis was that they were afraid of their alpha trainers to the point where the bears, to relieve stress, would attack each other in the ring, but not their human predators. And I always find that interesting that they're sometimes an animal in a circus environment or a stressful environment will snap and they will go after the alpha trainer. But most often they won't. They'll go after each other, turn it inwards on each other. And that happened a lot to Berla with these big males.
I'm talking with Elsa Poulsen, who is known around the world for her work in rescuing bears. And her book is Berla's Story, One Polar Bear's Amazing Recovery from Life as a Circus Act. What were your top priorities for little Berla when you brought her to her new home at the Detroit Zoo?
our top priority was recovery. And recovery takes whatever time it takes. And we use behavior-based husbandry. In other words, the objective is to know what polar bears require. We're all genetically programmed to be whatever species we are. So polar bears have certain genetic expectations. They also have expectations from their personal history, just like humans. We have an expectation based on how things went in the past.
And hers had been horrific.
Correct. And then she also had expectations of her current environment. So for a bear like Berla, the first day when she arrived, she had she really would not have an expectation that her circus years were over. She would have no idea. This would really be another stop in another long line of moves to another facility and so on. And for all we knew, her expectation would be that we would be predatory like the other humans she had encountered in terms of requiring training and you know, that kind of a life. She was one of the most, when she first arrived there at the airport, she did strike me as the most relaxed animal I had ever met that had been through this kind of thing. And there are a couple of reasons for that we figured out afterwards. In retrospect, I think the complete drop in temperature from the tropical temperatures that she'd been used to a November day in Detroit, that in itself would be just a wonderful moment for a polar bear and go, okay, it's not been this cool for years. And the other aspect of it is that it occurred to me that this animal, when she was traveling in a crate, no one could hurt her. So traveling from point A to point B, from one gig to another gig, no one ever asked anything of her. No one ever hit her. No one ever talked to her. She was cargo, and she could be just relaxed. And I think that's what her relaxed demeanor was all about.
So, Elsa, what were the steps then in her recovery? You get her to the Arctic Ring of Life, so she's finally in the proper environment. But then what?
The first thing you have to do with an animal, and this is true for dogs or any other species, they need some sort of grounding. They need a friend. So the first thing is to work with them. One individual person needs to be the constant throughout her recovery.
And were you hers?
And I was that person, yeah. And I always buy my way into friendship. So I had a pocket full of peanuts and grapes and anything else that she would want. And you just start rewarding her. She was very typical for an animal that had been abused in that when I – well, the first thing she did was she slept for almost 2 days straight, which we all understood why she would do that. When I could start working with her, I would call her name. The first thing you have to do is name recognition. You need the animal in this new environment to come when you call. But they have to come of their own free will, which means that you have to be worth coming to, you know. And so when I called her name, she wouldn't respond because, again, if you're an abused animal, it's never a safe thing to respond when a human calls. You have to figure out what exactly the human wants, what's next on the agenda, and you can almost feel the tension rise in these animals when their names are called. So Berla didn't respond. So then I would quietly, Berla, call her name again. And she's at a distance from me because obviously we're not in the cage with her. She was in quarantine at this point. And when her ear turned my way, she's not looking at me, but her one ear turns my way, I throw her a grape. And she looks at the grape. And she may look at me out of the corner of her eye, but then she eats the grape. She liked the grapes. That was new at Detroit, and she liked the grapes. So and that was good. We're always trying to find something that the animal likes that's a quick reward. Then I call her name again. Berla, 2 ears turn my way, or they turn backwards and she's listening. Then finally she turns her head, Berla. And then eventually, as we work through this, she came up. So by the second day, she was coming up. But when she did come up, I was, again, my heart sank because she crawled over. And the only other time I've ever seen a bear crawl was a nosy little brown bear that was checking out what two breeding bears were doing and trying to crawl under them. And, of course, that whole pyramid fell down, and that wasn't – you know, that didn't work out for the crawling bear. But that's the only ever time. So I talked to the veterinarian right away, and that meant that we were now monitoring her. Maybe she was lame. Maybe there was an issue. Mm-hmm. So – but you don't let the bear know. You don't – get all upset about it and so on. You try to work with what you have. Well, she crawled over, so she would get lots of grapes and lots of kudos and good girl, Berla, good girl.
She wasn't used to that at all.
No,
and humans being nice.
Yeah, and you put grapes together with good girl, and and that was in the development. She did eventually get up and walk over. And again, in retrospect, you're trying to piece together, well, why would she crawl? She never did that again. Well, her cage that she lived in was so small that to move from point A, it would be pointless to actually get up and walk over 3 feet and crouch down again to be given a treat or be given whatever it was you were given. You would just scooch over. But in this new environment, she was in quarantine at the zoo, and there would be a cement floor, and there was at least a good 10, 15 feet away, which wasn't conducive to crawling over. You had to get up and move.
And it got her moving.
Yeah.
She came to the zoo in what year?
2002.
So in 2002, and how long then before she reintegrated, began to interact with the other bears, and she eventually became a mama. So she did reintegrate.
Yeah. Becoming a mother, that was probably within a 24-month period. The recovery itself as a whole took approximately a year. And I always say that our job as zookeepers and caregivers is that of maid service. Our job is to set up an environment where the animals have what they need and a safe environment so that Berla could experiment and find her bear behaviors. And if something didn't work out, it would be safe to fail. And then she would start over again and learn something else, you know, and try it another way. So we had to set up a safe environment where it was safe to fail and safe to try again.
What are your fears for polar bears?
That's an interesting question. My fear for bears in general in terms of animal welfare is always the human agenda, which comes first. And one of the reasons I wrote Berla's story, or probably the predominant reason I wrote Berla's story, is because so many people from so many different organizations that are diametrically opposed philosophically dropped the human agenda, dropped their politics, and focused on the animals' agenda. And look what happened. When we focus on the animals' agenda, the animals thrive and we become better people. There is a byproduct that way. We become better for the work that we did. So, and what was remarkable again about when I interviewed some of these folks, I worked not just with a team at the Detroit Zoo. The Detroit Zoo team worked with teams from zoos all over the United States and people all over the world whom we'd never met each other. So when I interviewed some of the key movers and shakers in this rescue, the goodwill, it was so interesting and quite heartwarming, the goodwill that existed for the rescues and the recovery still exists in these people. It was quite an experience to write the book and get in touch with these people.
It's quite an experience to read your book, Elsa Poulsen, an animal behaviorist who's president and co-founder of the Bear Care Group. And her book is Berla's Story, One Polar Bear's Amazing Recovery from Life as a Circus Act. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It was a pleasure.